Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Week 8, can it be possible, of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882. I want to thank everybody at the Harvard Coop for allowing us to do the show live last week with Coach Orrick and family and some guests. Great experience there, and we appreciate the opportunity. Hope to be back there in a couple of weeks leading into the game. Coach, as far as last week's game, the 1-0 mantra has worked out very well again. You expected a big challenge from Dartmouth. You got it, and you certainly accepted it and moved forward and was able to gain some separation in the end. I think the 31-10 score might be a little bit misleading considering how tight that game was for a long time, which is good to give you guys the test that you need at this point.
Yeah, it was another one of those games where we had to respond and deal with some adversity, and you know, those guys, they didn't flinch. That's been how it's been all season, and they've been put in those positions, and they just stayed focused and kept working through the game, and ultimately we were put ourselves in a position where we, you know, were able to comfortably take control of the game.
Indeed, and another fast start, Coach, with a great drive to begin the game. You go 13 plays, 71 yards, 5:36 on the drive. And Jaden Craig, you know, well-documented, we'll talk about accolades and what he's accomplished and the heights that he's achieved now as far as the passing game and setting a career Harvard touchdown pass. But on that drive, not to be overlooked, when it's time to run in certain situations, he can do it. The 3rd and 5 for the first down is a big one.
Yeah, he's a very good athlete. He runs really well. He hasn't had to do it a ton up to this point of the season. Now he's had a couple opportunities where he's been able to make some plays for us with his legs, and that's just another weapon we can add to our offense.
No doubt. And speaking of weapons, Gil Martin, we've talked about him, a Halloween weekend matchup nightmare, and he was again on the first scoring play. And then to get to that second scoring play, the Craig to Blackburn hookup, can I use the word ridiculous?
Yeah, that was I mean, it was an unbelievable throw. You know, he changed the protection when he saw that it was cover zero. He adjusted away from where the unblocked defender was that he knew was unblocked, and then he literally threw a perfect ball. And I asked Brady, I was like, "Did you see that?" And he said, "No, I just saw the shadow of the ball when it dropped it in my hands." So you want to talk about like perfect ball placement? That was an incredible throw and great catch.
Yeah, Mike Giardi, Freddie said it looked like a 40-yard handoff. You know,
yes, you know? Yes,
it was almost the way it was positioned. That got the game to 14-0. That got Craig on the cusp of the record, the all-time Harvard touchdown pass record, and Core added a 38-yard field goal. That's the longest of his career. We know how strong the leg is. I'm going to say, for a confidence factor, with what you might be faced with as you head into the final weeks of the season here and hopefully beyond, a real good confidence builder for him to hit 138 yards and a day that you know, presented some weather issues there with the blustery nature of the conditions.
Yeah, we were ready for the wind and were prepared when the situation was right to go for it, but that wasn't one of them. And, you know, Kieran knows that I'm going to be really aggressive, and if the analytics are saying that we should go for it based off the percentages and, you know, the point swing that could happen if you go for it and get it, that I'm going to be super aggressive. So, you know, maybe ones that we turned down and went for it, it has nothing to do with my confidence in him. It has more to do with, you know, what the analytics are telling us that are the best for us to put ourselves in position to win games. So he's continued to progress, and he's kicking the ball well, and he's kicking off really well. He's basically erased that as part of the game for our opponents on the last couple of weeks. So just really happy how he's progressing.
Indeed. And the defense, I haven't mentioned them yet, but we will now. The bend, but no break in sight was in evidence in that final Dartmouth drive of the first half. And as good a field goal kicker as Zalk is, he had some issues with the wind there. But the defense holding, credit them, and the field goal no good allowed you to get into the half with still with the shutout preserved.
Yeah, the defense has been playing, continue to play really well, and what they're doing a really good job of is they're doing their job. They're forcing teams to execute at a very, very high level if they want to continue drives. So they may, you know, get a first down here, get a third down conversion here, and then all of a sudden they get off schedule, and now that's right where we want them, and we can get the stop. So, you know, guys out there not thinking I got to make a play, more thinking I got to do their job is it's having a huge impact on our success on defense.
It's no doubt, and forcing, I mean, offenses when there's a little bit of an intimidation factor there that you're going to have to be perfect to beat Harvard and to be able to beat Harvard all the way down the field.
Correct. You know, you can throw a field hitch and get seven, but at some point it's not going to go so well and you get off schedule, and that's right where we want you.
And a big part of off schedule, and we know that he knows Santa Claus with Christian. Christian had the really mega game for you. It seems like guys step up each week, six tackles, two for a loss, and a sack and a half, and he was certainly his disruptive best self on Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to an alum who knows Christian, and we were just talking about how it hasn't necessarily shown up statistically, his impact he's been having with just how disruptive he was. And then sure enough, this game, you know, the stats started to show up. So, you know, he's been doing a really, really good job of practicing the right way, and it's showing up on game day. So I was happy for him that it statistically showed up because, you know, he's been having the same impact in some other games.
No doubt on the sheet, if you will. The one Dartmouth successful touchdown drive was the one early in the third quarter where they did execute. They put together a 75-yard drive and got the game within seven. A tip ball resulted in Zalk, with the win in his back there. He ended up hitting the 46 yards, hit the long field goal. But once again, when your team's ability to take a punch, and as you talk about the resiliency, never more in evidence than what Craig and the offense did on the next drive, and with the touchdown pass to Riska, a guy that maybe, you know, with the array of weapons is sometimes a forgotten man. Well, Dartmouth, the play was so well executed. Again, Mike Giardi was talking about the offensive coordinator. He's going to steal that one from Marble that high. Great call.
Yeah, that was a great call. you see that one in practice, and you're like, this is going to go well in the game, and then it's always good when it does. It was you know, great timing of the call and everything. So Coach Fine did a great job with that one.
No doubt. And the defense, coming up with a stop there. You look at the defense, 5 of 7 games, one touchdown allowed. They stop, take over on downs. And then Craig with the final dagger again with Gil Martin on the receiving end. With the 34-yard touchdown pass. I've got to ask you something. I think that, you know, as talk to people that follow the Crimson, and the depth factor, of course, jumps out. We've talked about it all year, having so many weapons and touches. In terms of going into the game, and as you and your influence there with Coach Fine on the offensive side, do you go in with a plan in terms of who is going to get the touches early and then to kind of see who's hot? Because it does seem like from week to week, it could be somebody different. It could be somebody that maybe nobody's even thinking about, like Riska having a career day. I mean, these are all good problems to have, but I just wonder in terms of the scheme, is it, you know, coming in, it's like, yeah, we'll use Bescone early and see how it goes. Or we're going to use Gordon a little bit earlier. Or we might maybe use Dean Boyd a little bit more early. I mean, in terms of how you break it up.
Yeah, I would say in the run game, there's definitely a feel for who has a hot hand. And sometimes it's been hard to really gauge that because they just all have kind of been steady and productive. So when that happens, you just want to make sure you continue to get the guy touches and they end up evenly at the end of the day, unless somebody really starts to take over during that game. You know, the tight end position is unique because we do have three really good tight ends. So, you know,
yes,
the different combinations of those lead to, you know, tendencies, and, you know, the more you can use them in different ways, the more you can break tendencies and, you know, kind of not allow the defense to kind of dictate what they're going to do, knowing like, oh, yeah, when he's in the game, they like to do this. And I'm sure I'm sure it's definitely changing here, but I'm sure there's other teams who look at Reska and they say, oh, when he's in the game, they want to run the ball. But he's become a passing threat, and he has really good hands, and he's also a great blocker. So, you know, to have a tight end like that, he's going to be on the field a lot. So you have him in there and you can catch the ball. It just makes it very hard for the defense to, you know, get any type of, you know, when Coach Chiano used to always talk about 90%ers, you know, hey, when this guy's on the field and this personnel grouping, they do this 90% of the time, whether it's run or pass. And, like, those just don't exist with that group because they're all really balanced. You know, I would say the reason that it's happened that way in the past game is just Jaden's doing a really, really good job of going through his progressions and delivering the ball where it should be based off of the coverage. And you know, with the exception of, you know, after Stetson, we wanted to make sure we got Brady involved early versus Brown. We haven't really had those discussions because it's just been naturally happening with that receiving core. You know, Cam Henry's a really, really good player, and we got to make sure we have enough calls in there that get him touches because he is just so fast. So maybe he's a little unique, but now that's even changed now, and, you know, he's out there, doesn't matter. It's not he's out there to get certain plays. He's out there because he's just playing well, and we're using him in all different ways.
No, it really just is translated. It nightmares for defenses to try to decipher. And once again, to try to make sense of those tendencies. I mean, you may go with multiple, you know, 12, multiple tight ends. It doesn't necessarily mean anything at this point.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when I was at Tampa Bay Bucks, you know, we played the Saints, and they had Jimmy Graham. They had another tight end. They had the little running back who was a receiver. I'm forgetting his name. They had Mark Ingram. And you had all these different 21 personnels were based off of the tight end, the running back, and the other running back. It all equals different things, and you're trying to figure it all out. And, you know, we have the luxury right now because we just have so many different versions of 12 personnel, so many different versions of 11 personnel that are, you know, they each have their strong suits, but they're all able to do a little bit of everything. So if a team is trying to figure it out based off of who's at certain positions, good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And they haven't been having much, and hopefully that'll continue. You mentioned about Blackburn, you know, was ho-hum. He gets his fourth 100-yard game in the last five, and a flair for the dramatic. Gil Martin was big. Ritzka, Boyd, solid with five catches. You know, once again, with Jaden, you mentioned making the reads and being able to spread it around as effectively as he did. And getting back to the defense for a moment, I'm going to have an opportunity to talk to Sean Lyon. He'll be my profile. First time I've talked to one of the members of the linebacking corps this year. Looking forward to that. And Sean, coming off his best game with 12 tackles, huge impact. And that unit, one maybe, you know, we've talked about, maybe the one that had the most questions. We talked about it last week. But boy, those questions have been answered rather emphatically with the way that these guys stepped up. I guess you got to think about it as a coach. When I think about your comments at the beginning of the year, that you get confidence, they just didn't have the reps. Well, they're getting the reps, and the way that these guys have come along and emerged has been pretty gratifying for you.
Yeah, really, really happy with that unit. You know, Sean is he's a special player. He can run. He's like a blur sometimes. You're watching the tape, and all of a sudden there's blur runs across the team, makes tackle on Sean. So he can make up for some deficiencies somewhere just with how fast he plays. But he is really, he's getting better every week, just with his understanding of the defense and his reactions. And that's, you know, having coached against Coach Larkey's defenses all those years, you know, what you noticed about the defense was they played so fast because they were so confident in what they're doing and the reactions you need to have. And you're seeing that out of Sean right now. And then, you know, Jaden Kinlock and Jack Kirkwood, two guys have been waiting for the opportunity to have a bigger role. They've taken advantage of it, and they both are playing really, really well. So, you know, the combination of those three has really kind of solidified us here moving forward through the end of the year. So it's been a really fun group to watch. And, like, even Jaden and Jack, like, they're this far into their career, and they are still, like, they're getting better from the start of training camp till now. And that's the most exciting thing to see, how they continue to improve throughout the season.
Absolutely. And And now on the way to Columbia, back on the road, heading to New York. Columbia, who had their, quite clearly, their best season last year under John Poppy since 1961, which was the last time that they were in the conversation for the Ivy League, put the title with you and Dartmouth, the team that you just defeated. And it's been a difficult year. I remember the opening game for them. We were watching down at Stetson, and it just seems like things haven't been in sync for them. Yet they did get their quarterback back last week and seemed to move the ball with a lot more efficiency and got some confidence back in their offense. And similar to your game, they were very close with Yale coach until Yale had a couple of second half touchdowns.
Yeah, I've been impressed with them on tape watching them. They have, you mentioned the quarterback. He's really, really talented. And I think they're very deep at receiver. They got a number of running backs that run really hard. They do a good job up front, running the ball. That Dartmouth game, they ran the ball right down the field and then threw a pick to start the game. And that just kind of spiraled on up to that point. Like, they were owning the line of scrimmage on that Dartmouth defense, which is, as you saw on Saturday, like, that's a challenging group to run the ball versus. I think their best football is moving ahead here. And we're going to get a good challenge from their offense this week. And then defensively, they were probably one of the biggest challenges for us last year. And what they're doing hasn't really changed much. They have some younger guys, but they've played a lot of football. So, it's not like, the younger guys who are figuring it out on the go. No, they've played a lot of football and they're physical and they're front seven. The Justin Townsend, their DN, he's, had some injuries over his career, but he's a really productive defensive end who's a great pass rusher and disruptive. So, this is going to be a big challenge for us. And, we knew that the record didn't really match with what type of team they are. So they had definitely have our full attention.
Absolutely. Notice that defensively, they had two guys in the back seven that stepped up and had career days with Battle, and there was another Dawson, I believe it was. They both had 10 tackles, so they were all over the field. In addition, you mentioned with Townsend and his ability as a pass rusher. So they've got some guys on defense that I'm sure are going to present some issues for you to deal with.
Yeah, it's going to be a great challenge for us. And the work we've been putting in so far this week, I'm confident in our guys and how they go about their preparation, and that's been the case all season. You get to this point in the season, like, these teams are all really good and they're going to be a challenge for us. And we knew that was going to be the case as we continue to move through our schedule, that these games are going to get harder on the back half of the season. And that's kind of where we're at.
Absolutely. The Ivy League, as I say, the sweepstakes continues here on the run to the finish. And congratulations, Jaden Craig. He now is the career all-time touchdown pass leader. Team accomplishment last week, first in the Ivy League, which began play in 1956, to 300 wins. And I just love when you talk about milestones at Harvard. This is the first time, Coach, you probably saw the note. Seven consecutive games here to open the season, 30-plus points. First time since 1890. Contrary to popular belief, I don't remember much about that season.
I didn't know that stat. That's a good one. I didn't know that one.
1890.
Wow, yeah. The 300, Coach Murphy's been a part of a lot of those now.
Sure, yep.
He's been responsible for a good number of those. Jaden, after last season, I looked at it and I was like, oh, he's gonna make a run at this one for sure. It's just a matter of when it was gonna happen during the season, because he's just such a talented player and puts so much work into it. So I'm happy for him. He deserves to have his name up there in the record book. And there's still a lot more football to play. So
absolutely,
you can stretch that thing out and make it even harder to touch later on.
Indeed, he could create some distance there, no question about it. As we look ahead, Coach, thanks very much, as always, for the time, and look forward to what is to come this week. the Crimson will head down to the Big Apple, the northern end of Broadway in the Inwood section to play Columbia this week, and to try to keep the 1-0 mantra continue this week. So that's what we're looking for. All the best.
Yes, hopefully we can get all the crim from New York City. Let's get you over to the stadium there Friday night and be loud and cheer on the guys.
Absolutely. Harvard Nation in force there in New York City. That's what we'll look for. And once again, thanks to Coach Yorick for joining us here. Our coaching spotlight on Inside Harvard Football this week, presented by the Harvard Coop. Harvard tradition since 1882.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of Inside Harvard Football. Inside Harvard Football presented by the Harvard Coop, a Harvard tradition since 1882. And in our player profile this week, and the player profile is sponsored by the Harvard Federal Credit Union, moving the chains for you and all of your needs financially. Very pleased to have with us. We're going to head back on the defensive side. We had Thomas O'Brien representing the O-line live at the Coop last week. And now we have on the line, if you will, Sean Line, the junior linebacker and from Stockholm, New Jersey. Not Stockholm, Sweden. I've never been to either one, to be honest with you. You're going to have to give me some insight about Stockholm, New Jersey in this interview. And Sean has certainly had an outstanding year, stepping up in a starting role, prominent role, on the Crimson defense. Sean, welcome. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Well, Sean, as this team has evolved this season, and I used to talk to Coach Murphy over the years, we'd get around this time, around the mid-season and then past the mid-season point. As I say, you're in the Ivy League sweepstakes right now, where it's all Ivy play down the stretch. And Coach Murphy and I would commiserate, and Coach Murphy would say, I think we have a championship defense. You know, Bernie, I think we got a championship defense this year. And we had those conversations over a number of years, and dare I say it, this defense has certainly evolved into a championship-caliber defense. And I know that you've been a big part of it, you and your mates in the linebacker corps. The first time we've had a chance to talk to somebody from the linebacker room this year. And quite honestly, that was a position that I think was somewhat of a question mark coming into the season, just because of lack of reps and experience that you guys had. But man, has that question been answered very emphatically in terms of the ability that you and the rest of your mates have shown?
Yeah, we knew we had great leaders last year with Mitchell Gonzer, Eric Little, Marcus Alexander, and we knew right after the season, Coach Ork brought it up in a team meeting. He said linebackers thought to you guys got to step up. And I think we've answered the bell. We're a really close group. We like to hang out all the time together. And we have a great linebacker coach and defensive coordinator and Coach Lark that gets us right every single week.
Absolutely. He was a pretty good linebacker himself, trust me. It's because I'm old, I remember. You mentioned about the other guys that have stepped into prominent roles, starting roles, into the rotation. Guys like Jack Kirkwood, Jaden Kinlaw, you guys have really made a home for yourselves there, and seem to have gained a cohesiveness very, very quickly as a group. You know, just being on the field right from the beginning of the season to where you're operating now, the function seems to be very unified.
Yeah, we have a lot of guys in the room that are contributing every single game. I think we have like a 5 or 6 man rotation. We lost Dorsey a couple weeks ago, who was a great player. He was right next to me, and we knew after that, we knew we had to all step up as a group, and we're just trying to execute every single play out there.
Indeed. Well, it's worked out very well, you know, once again, since the beginning of this season. And a defense that it seems like when you've needed the big play has been there, and guys have stepped up at different points during the season. I mean, you really had a huge day. Your biggest day as far as activity was last week against Dartmouth. Just give us some insight about what you expected from Dartmouth, some of the challenges that the offense presented, and how you were able to answer it.
Yeah, so we knew coming in, Dartmouth always, every single year, they produce like FBS level offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So we knew the game was going to be physical. They like to run the ball a ton to their tight end, so we tried to match up with their tight end strength-wise, and I think, honestly, our D-line was our – they really created – they made it easier for me and the other linebackers to make some plays on the ball. So credit to them.
Indeed. Once again, things all really kind of working very, very cohesive and very much everybody on the same page assignment wise and improving that. As far as getting ready for this season, you mentioned the call went out right at the end of last season about you guys stepping up as a unit, and that there was going to be reps and time and available. There was openings at those positions because of the departure of the guys you mentioned, the starters from last year. Did you approach it any differently during the off season? And were you one of the guys? I know a lot of the guys stayed in Cambridge for a good bit of the off season.
I went home for the off season, but we would do weekly meetings to we'd learn the scheme and everything. But it was also just we all would like FaceTime during the winter before spring ball, and we just try to learn the defense and ask questions, bounce ideas off each other. And we knew coming in it was going to be a competitive group because we were all trying to fight for the starting jobs.
Mm-hmm. And once again, because of the departure, you know, hit really hard with graduation last season. And as far as the way that the team has developed, I know that Coach Orrick, his mantra is 1-0 every week. And the 1-0 is worked out. It seems like there's a very singular focus with this team each week in terms of what the task is.
Yeah, we know every game, we control our own destiny. So every game, we're treating it as a championship game to win the Ivy League. And that's the goal every week. We're not looking past anyone. And we're just focused on the opponent each and every week.
And worked out really well. And as far as, Sean, you're recruiting, once again, New Jersey native. You played at Pope John High School. I believe that's down in Sparta, New Jersey. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yep. And as far as your recruitment, who was the go-to? Who was the primary guy in bringing Harvard to you, as it were, and allowing you the opportunity to play for the Crimson?
Yeah, it was Coach Fine was the first one to reach out to me. And then I went up for a camp invite. It was a beautiful sunny day in Cambridge, and once I was walking around campus, I knew this was going to be the place I was going to end up at.
And I had a great feeling. Well, I'm glad it didn't rain that day anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a beautiful sunny day in Cambridge and Harvard and the whole atmosphere. It's like, how could you say? There's no way you could have said no, and you didn't say no. And as far as your background, I noted no stranger to being a guy that's pretty active at the position you're playing right now. You set the single season school record. I think you had 149 tackles in one season. Was that your senior year at Pope John?
Yeah, it was. We had a defense. We weren't the best team, but our defense was pretty solid my senior year.
Yeah, I guess so. And you're one of the leaders there. And indicative of your athletic ability, you were a multifaceted, multi-purpose guy yourself. You also did enjoy playing on the other side of the ball. I guess you, linebacker and running back, you doubled.
Yeah, they would put me in on like third and one, third and two situations just to run straight downhill.
Okay, so you had those short
yards. Definitely no lateral movement from me, though.
It was all about short yardage for you, short yardage package.
Yes, exactly.
I got it. And also, you know, once again, athletic versatility, your ability. You also had some experience in the kicking game, too.
Yeah, I was actually a soccer player up until the sixth grade before I even played football.
Wow, really? Okay.
Yeah, my dad told me the only way I play in college is if I kick. So I proved him wrong a little bit. But
those kicking skills, I'm sure that the coaching staff at Pope John, they were able to take that and run with it. The fact that you had that great soccer background developed your kicking skills and made you effective in that area too. So yeah, definitely. Definitely, with you know, once again, all around ability. And what is the thing? What gives you the most joy and the most fun about playing the linebacker position as it's evolved for you? Anything in particular that you enjoy? You know, some guys will say it's one particular aspect of the game that they might really thrive on, or that might really bring a big smile to their face in terms of the course of the game.
Yeah, I love when honestly we have five of our guys on the defense in on one tackle. Like the last week against Dartmouth, that fourth and one stop we had, that was my favorite moment of the season so far.
Yes.
It was like a three-score game. We get that stop, and we're all celebrating like we won the Ivy League. It was just an awesome experience on that play.
And once again, making the plays that you need at the time, you know, getting that situation turnover on downs. And there really has been, when there has been a little bit of a bend in this defense, it seems like guys are stepping up and there's really no break. And that's really impressive.
Yeah, definitely. We've gone hit in the mouth out of halftime a couple of times this year.
Sure.
And to respond like how we have, it's just the character of our defense, I would say.
No question. And what... what are you looking at from it? I'm always interested with the guys when we do our profiles, academic and what your pursuits are and what your concentration is at this point, Sean, as a junior.
Yes, I'm concentrating in economics.
Oh, okay. Okay. Have you had a chance to do any cool internships or any exposure?
I had, this is an interesting one. I had an internship back home last summer. Ended up, the drive was over like an hour and a half, 2 hours, so I was unfortunately not able to do it, but, yeah.
Well, you got time coming up, absolutely, you know, when the business at hand of football, and also been asking all the guys, what a fortuitous time for you to be part of this Crimson program, because, I mean, it's been long, long awaited. To have an opportunity to participate in the FCS playoffs and to have that motivation for you guys, if you can finish the job here, you know that there's an automatic bid on the line. But I'm sure that's something you don't want to dwell on it and you don't want to jinx anything. I know, but I'm sure it's been a motivational tool that you know, kind of one other thing to really kind of keep you guys running in week in and week out.
Yeah, definitely. Because in previous years, it's really been just the Ivy League play, go undefeated there. But this year, when we had our three out of conference games, it's still the same message. You got to go 1-0 every week to set yourself up for an opportunity to make the playoffs. And every week, we've just been reminded, focus on this game. Don't worry about what's going on, like outside noise or anything.
Absolutely. Well, when I interviewed Coach Orrick this week, and I told him I'm going to have Sean Lyon, the one thing he talked about was, just, he says, sometimes he looks like a blur on film. That's a great compliment from your coach in terms of how well you cover the field and you can get sideline to sideline to pursue.
Yeah, I've never been known as a speed guy, but I'll definitely take the compliment for sure.
He said that you can get you get around the field pretty quick, you know, pretty effective in that area. So that's a great testament to you, and particularly a game, you know, 12 tackles last week, and was relentless and all over the field in your pursuit there. You mentioned about 1-0 and the mantra of 1-0 every week. Well, this week it'll be Columbia, and I know you're getting ready, and your thoughts on heading down, you're a New Jersey guy, you head down to the Big Apple this week, and probably pretty accessible. I'm suspecting you'll have some more friends and family down for a game at Columbia.
Yes, a lot of family and friends coming to the game, so I'm really looking forward to seeing them afterwards, but we got to make sure we handle business first.
And absolutely. Well, it's worked out really well through 7, and next up is game 8 with Columbia, and it will be 7 o'clock. It'll be Friday Night Lights. You love playing the night games? Did you play a lot of the night games, I suspect, in high school?
Actually, no. Our field is right next to neighbors from our like rival high school, so...
Oh.
We were not allowed to set up lights for night games, so we were always Saturdays at 12.
Wow, so you guys were Saturdays, so that's cool. So the Saturday with the configuration of the schedule, you're much more at home with the Saturday, the 12 o'clock starts for Harvard.
Yes, definitely, but I will say the Friday night games are you get a lot more energy for those games.
Absolutely, nothing like Friday night lights. That's what we'll have this Friday night coming up, 7 o'clock, the kickoff at Wine Stadium in Manhattan, as the Crimson and Columbia will match up. And Sean, thanks very much. We appreciate you joining us here. And I got my final question. Stockholm, New Jersey. Have you ever been to Stockholm, Sweden, or no?
I have never, unfortunately.
Okay. probably not exactly the Twin Cities. I'm guessing that there's probably a lot of none too subtle differences between the two cities. That would be my guess. Unless there's a lot of blonde people running around Stockholm, New Jersey, I'm not sure.
So, not too many, unfortunately.
Not as many as Stockholm, Sweden. I'll put the bet down on that. There you go. Beautiful. Sean, thanks very much. Really appreciate you coming on as our Crimson Profile, and all the best running around the field down there and making tackles Friday and down the stretch here of the regular season, and hopefully with more to come.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Sean Lyne, Crimson junior linebacker out of Stockholm, New Jersey. Our guest, he's our Crimson Profile this week, and that is presented by the Harvard Federal Credit Union here on Inside Harvard Football, presented by the Harvard Coop, Harvard tradition since 1882.